I'm Tom Hall. This is Midday. Today on Midday, we check in once again with Isabel Mercedes Cumming, the Inspector General of the City of Baltimore. In 2020, the Office of Inspector General issued 47 reports that included investigations into travel by the Baltimore City State's Attorney, the water billing system, extra trash pickups in one of Baltimore's most prosperous neighborhoods, a toxic work environment at the Department of Transportation, and city employees who were paid for work that was never performed. Isabel Mercedes Cumming has the latest on allegations of waste, fraud, and abuse. Plus, the arts journalist Kara Ober of Be More Art on standout exhibitions this spring. That's ahead on Midday, after the news. And good afternoon. Welcome. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. Thanks for being with us. My guest today is the Inspector General of the City of Baltimore, Isabel Mercedes Cumming. She was appointed in 2018. Since then, her office has grown from 4 to 17 employees, and the number of complaints received on the OIG hotline has increased exponentially. The Office of Inspector General recently released its annual report for last year, 2020, and a big report that came out just a few weeks ago, one of the most controversial of its most recent investigations. It was a 7-month probe into travel by Baltimore State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby. When questions were raised about Mosby's travel, much of which was paid for by entities outside of city government, Ms. Mosby requested an investigation by the OIG. The results of that investigation revealed substantial ambiguity in rules that are explicated in the City Administrative Manual concerning whether or not city officials have to report travel that isn't paid for by the city. And it has led Mayor Brandon Scott and Comptroller Bill Henry to call for a study of those rules to see how they might be clarified. So we'll talk about that and whatever else we can fit in our time with Isabel Mercedes Cumming, who joins us on Zoom. Isabel, welcome back.
Oh, thank you very much for having me. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
So let's talk, because of all, as I mentioned, of all of the investigations you've done recently, the one concerning State's Attorney Marilyn Mosby is the one that's gotten the most attention by far. What, generally speaking, as an overview, what did you find? And did you find that the state's attorney broke any regulations, broke any laws, or did anything improper?
You're correct that the report has definitely been the most talked about. And the focus has actually been more into accountability and transparency as far as the travel. And I'm going to tell you that, to me, as the investigator in this case, there was never a question as whether the administrative manual policy was applicable. And I'll tell you why, because we reviewed every single page of the BOE minutes between the years 2018 and 2019, which is the only time I was focused. And you know, during that time, the administrative manual policy that was cited in the Mosby report was mentioned over 70 times in that 2-year time frame by both elected officials and employees, with no difference between the groups. So to me, that was a very clear pattern and custom of usage that elected, you know, by elected officials that aided me in interpreting the provisions. But in addition, I had also spoken to the person that ran the BOE for years. I spoke to the people that sat on the BOE for years. Nobody brought up a question. So the elected officials that utilized the one in question were Jack Young, Joan Pratt, John Bullock, Sharon Middleton, Ryan Dorsey, Liam Pickett, Kirsten Burnett, Ed Reisinger, so
Let me be clear to listeners. BOE is the Board of Estimates.
Right.
And you're talking about these officials who did report travel that they undertook that was paid for by somebody else. Is that what you're
explaining? The AM in question, AM is Administrative Manual 240, it has different characterizations. So you either have to report it because it was free travel, or because you used a weekend day, or because you went out of the country. So all those people that I just mentioned, they actually, they followed into one of those categories. So all of them referred to the exact same AM policy that my office referred to. So it applied to elected officials. You know, going back in history, they're going back and looking at it, it wasn't a question. But it's important to realize that the intent of the AM, the administrative manual, was all about accountability and transparency involving the travels of elected officials and employees in Baltimore City. So regardless of the funds. This is all about accountability and transparency. So to say that in my office, you know, my mission is about where our job is to promote accountability, efficiency, integrity in city government. So this is squarely in my area and about transparency. And I just look at the evidence, because our principle is it's where the evidence leads is the path we take. Okay, because we pursue it with an objective mind, without prejudice, and regardless of politics. So the best
sorry to interrupt, but let me just back up a second, just so listeners understand the context for all of this. The state's attorney was invited by many different groups to attend various conferences. So she took, according to your report, 24 trips in the years that you're talking about, 2018 and 2019. Is there anything, for putting aside accountability about who paid for them, et cetera, and where they were and how much they cost?
No.
But is there anything wrong with appearing at these conferences, making speeches, or even just attending the conferences to learn about things that are applicable to her job?
No.
Right.
That's not an issue at all.
But then it does seem that there is a disagreement, perhaps, between you and, for example, Acting Solicitor Jim Shea, who looked at the administrative manual and said to the Board of Estimates, to the mayor, to the comptroller, that, you know, there's some ambiguity here. It's not completely clear, and this whole thing needs an overhaul. In other words, is it possible that the state's attorney interpreted the administrative manual in a way that's different than the way you're interpreting it, and that the problem lies in the way the manual explicates these rules when it comes to reporting the travel?
The difference is that he had limited examples, and I have actually had the opportunity to look at all the examples. I've also had the opportunity to talk to people that, you know, there's it's almost like the picture from 2021, and I'm focused on the picture from 2018 to 2019, which is how I did my report. So I actually talked to the person, many conversations with the person that ran, the clerk of the BOE, the Board of Estimates, and how it was presented. I talked to the people that actually presented the travel request. I talked to many members of the actual Board of Estimates, and nobody dealing at that time period involving the people that we were dealing with, they all knew that it applied to elected officials as well. However, if you actually, and I do understand, if you look at the, and when things are ambiguous, you actually go back and you see the custom and usage. And actually, in his report, he mentioned that he didn't think the examples he had didn't give him enough to determine the custom and usage. But he only had a limited examples. I don't know if he realized how many examples there really were. I mean, when you actually go through it and you're talking about the entire section 240-3 and whether or not that section applies to elected officials, that changes everything. There's numerous examples, and all the people I listed all used as they're written. It's actually written in the minutes that they all cited 240-3. So all those elected officials cited 240-3. So you can't say that 240-3 doesn't apply to elected officials when all these people cited it.
Okay, but the lawyers for Ms. Mosby cite, not to get too deeply in the weeds here,
I know, but
240-1, and it states, this is in a letter that they sent to you in response to the report that you issued. This is State's Attorney Mosby's attorney says, it's the intent of this policy to encourage travel on official city business by the most economical means, i.e. discount airfare, and to maximize city savings on conferences expenses like early bird registration and number of employees permitted to attend the same conference. So the attorney says that language makes clear that the objective is to maximize savings for the city. And as Bill Henry, the comptroller, said, you know, it doesn't make sense to have someone be obliged to report travel that incurs no expense to the city. What? Why does the city care one way or the other how much something cost if the city isn't paying for it?
Well, there's a few. For one thing, the Board of Estimates is not a spending board, it's a governing board. For another thing is when people go out of the country on official business, actually the only way that we know they're going is because of, if it's free travel, the only way we know is if it's reported to the Board of Estimates. Because some people argued, for instance, that, Isabel, we're gonna report it on our ethics form. Well, that's just not true, because on our ethics form, it's very limited as to what actually gets reported. What gets reported on, for instance, when I responded to them, I gave 14 examples of elected officials that got free travel. Going back, actually back then, I included like Mayor Rawlings Blake and Mayor Catherine Pugh. Well, of those 14 examples, only one had it on their ethics form. So to try to argue that the ethics form is a catch-all, that's just not true either, because the ethics form, you only have to do, they're very specific about what actually gets reported on, and that would be the only thing you would have to report if it's a lobbyist, a person regulated by the city, or a person doing business for the city. So if you're getting, for instance, free travel by the United Nations or anything, that doesn't fall into any of those categories. So that would never be reported. And then I was also told that there's an issue of liability.
Did State's Attorney Mosby not report things? I mean, her lawyers say that your entire report was based on information that she gave to you. And in fact, she's the one that requested the information. So she had reported these trips on her state ethics form. She also gave you 4,000 work emails and bank statements, credit card statements, tax returns. She even gave you her cell phone for forensic analysis. I mean, were you concerned in this investigation that you were not getting adequate cooperation from the state's attorney?
We didn't get everything we asked for. However, that's really not the focus of this particular. This is about accountability and transparency. And if you continue to read, they would say she overreported. She didn't have to report this to the state ethics board. So if she doesn't have to report it to the state ethics board, or she didn't have to, and she's not reporting it to Baltimore City, then what we're really arguing or discussing actually is accountability. So if you don't have to, according to her attorneys, really report to the state ethics board, and you don't feel that this particular administrative manual applies to elected officials, then in reality, the citizens who I represent and work for, we have no accountability, because that's what this AM was about. Because even if you get free travel, you're going to an event as a city representative. And I was also told by a former member of the BOE that the reason this AM happened is because that way the city of Baltimore has approved this as an official an official travel. And so if anything was to happen for liability purposes, this is a sanctioned city event.
Okay, so let me ask you to outline in particular, just so folks really understand, because these are complicated issues, and I really appreciate your explaining them. But before we take a break here, what in your mind should the state's attorney have done that she didn't do?
This is
specifically
a policy.
Yes, specifically, okay, what should Marilyn Mosby have done that...
All she had to do, and I mean, she may not have realized that this applied to, that this particular AM applied to when you don't pay for it. I fully understand that, because most of these people, you know, it was because they had a person that was organizing everything and the person knew that this AM applied. But If she didn't realize it, then all to correct this entire thing, all that had to happen was retroactive travel approval. That was it. And it seems like, you know, the fact that now they're talking about just, you know, I think it's great that the mayor is going to, you know, clarify it, but it wasn't an issue of clarity before, you know, back in this time. It was actually very clear and a lot of people used it, but this is, I think this could have been easily cured by retroactive. I mean, there's no penalty for this. This was just, as the investigator, there was a policy, didn't follow it. I mean.
So that's interesting. So retroactively, the Board of Estimates can or could now even approve the travel that Ms. Mosby took in 2018 and 2019?
Yeah, they've done it before. I mean, I think
that'll,
actually.
That'll fix it? That'll.
That's it.
To your mind? Yeah. All right. Well, that's good
to know. I mean, this whole thing is about what I do, which is transparency and accountability. To argue that, you know, this should never be shown. I don't even think that's what you want. This is just a transparency and accountability issue to let people know where you are. And if you're telling, and if it's not going to be on the Board of Ethics, the only way that that all our elected officials are accountable is if it goes to the Board of Estimates, because it keeps us more transparent, and that's what my office is all about. Okay. So
I want to pick up on that when we come back from a quick break. We do have to take a break. As I say, I do very much appreciate every time you come on the show to explain what you do, why you do what you do, and what you found when you make these investigations happen. Isabel Mercedes coming. She is the Inspector General of the City of Baltimore, and we will have more with the Inspector General after a quick break. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us.
You're listening to Your Public Radio, 88.1 WYPR.
Welcome back. It's midday. I'm Tom Hall. By the way, coming up tomorrow, a conversation about a topic that most of us usually try to avoid: how to navigate the end of life for our loved ones and for ourselves. Dr. Daniel Morheim and his wife, the artist Shelley Morheim, have written a book called Preparing for a Better End. So I'll speak to them about that. I'll also speak with an expert in grieving from Harvard University. She's formerly on the medical school faculty there, Dr. Dorothy Hollinger. So we'll talk about grieving, death, and dying tomorrow on Midday. If you've just joined us today, it's one of our regular check-ins with the Inspector General of the City of Baltimore, Isabel Mercedes Cumming. To join our conversation, 410-662-8780. Our email, midday@wypr.org. Our Twitter handle is @MiddayWYPR. To follow me, it's @TomHallWYPR. So, Isabel, at the end of this letter that the attorneys for State's Attorney Mosby mailed to you a few days ago, they demanded that you correct your report to fix misstatements and inaccuracies. And it's a 9-page memo that they, you know, outline what they see as inaccuracies. Do you have any intention of amending your report at all, or changing it, or you know, revising it to reflect some of the points that they've made, or perhaps even some of the points that the acting solicitor Jim Shea has made about the manual?
I think that, no, referring to, you mentioned just a few minutes ago before that, you know, all she has to do is do the retroactive. And actually, in our report, we actually noted that this year in 2021, she's actually been submitting retroactive travel requests for her employees to the BOE. So I think everybody knows that if this is something that you can do. She's done it several times now. As far as changing, well, to me, the best result for an OIG report is a better system of transparency and accountability for the citizens of Baltimore. The bottom line was that the OIG is obligated to investigate complaints and present the facts in an objective, nonpartisan manner without political influences. Other people can interpret facts, make policies, rules, procedures. And I think it's wonderful that the mayor is actually going to try to clear up the solicitor's concerns. However, the OIG looks at one thing: the evidence, the past, the truth. And my office did that, and we absolutely stand behind our report, because in 2018 and 19, we have instance after instance after instance after instance of elected officials referring to the administrative manual in question. So accountability, the issue is it's truly a matter of transparency and accountability. And in this case, because I told you, it's a policy. So it's almost like, you know, we broke our nail, but we're going to cut off our hand. And that the rule exists so that we have an ability and be transparent and be accountable to the people that elected you. That's all it is. So now, stand behind my report.
Yeah, and I mean, you obviously, you know, when you issue these reports, the folks who are the focus of these reports are never pleased by it.
Never pleased.
So you're used to that part of your job. But I wonder, what is your response to this public official, Marilyn Mosby, who's had to spend a great deal of personal money on attorneys to, in her mind, clarify the allegations or the statements that you made in this report? There were, you know, insinuations in the press, the Baltimore Brew, which has been covering this story very carefully for a long time, ever since the summer. You know, are insinuating that she's gallivanting around the world and not doing her job, when in fact these are professional conferences that she's attending, like all officials attend, including you. And, you know, when I was in another business, I had those kinds of conferences. Anybody in any profession has those kinds of conferences. So Ms. Mosby is concerned about that. She's concerned, for example, that there was mention of these businesses that she has started while she's been in office. And there are plenty of people who question why it is she's starting these travel businesses while she's, you know, working as the full-time state's attorney for the city of Baltimore. That's a separate issue. Was there anything wrong with doing that? Did she break the law? You mentioned her, you know, tax returns and deductions that she took in relation to these businesses. It seems that one kind of reading of this is that, you know, people are insinuating that she is doing something unethical or illegal. So what's your response to her in this case, and to in general, the people who you are investigating when it comes to, you know, the appearance of impropriety when, you know, people may not know all of the details and the granular level of what it is you've reported in your investigation?
I fully appreciate that when I'm doing an investigation, that it is someone's reputation. And I respect that to the maximum ability that I can, which is why during an investigation, if anybody ever tries to ask me what's going on or anything, I will always give the same response. I neither confirm nor deny that I'm even doing an investigation. At the time that I actually release the report, it is as neutral as possible. I cannot control what the media says or anything. I can promise you, the word gallivanting, that is not in my report. I would never say that. My report,
yeah,
if people...
This is a characterization of her lawyers. Yeah, that's
and
true.
I never said that. I don't know where it came implied. I literally outlined the truth. I literally outlined the facts. I made no judgment. I made no judgment as to the whether or not she should report them on her ethics form. That's not my lane. My lane and what she asked for was a full investigation of her gifts, her travel, and her businesses. I treated her the same way I would treat anybody. And I told her that right when I met. I said, I do these investigations. I'm going to treat you exactly the same. In order to do this, I need this, 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 and this. Because it's a full investigation. She told me that it would be everything I asked for. And then originally I wanted to go 2017 to 2019. She very much didn't want to. And I said, okay, we'll just keep it at 2018, 2019. I mean, and then other instances, like I wanted the tax returns on 2018. Was never given that. So, and I just took the evidence I had. Exactly what I said. That became the path I took. I just laid it out. I never commented on it. And the issue at hand was that one AM manual, whether or not it applied to her. I truly believe she didn't, she may not have even known about it, because with 24 trips, none of them. In fact, one of the trips absolutely fell into the category, and it's in my report. One of the trips, even if you throw out anything, should have been reported to the BOE if you want to say it didn't apply to elected officials. But in the end, all we're talking about is accountability and transparency. I just outline the evidence and I present it. And I believe I presented this one in a very neutral way. From that point, the press takes it. I outlined the facts of what happened. And it started out with the fact that Marilyn Mosby even the dollar amount, she reported more dollars on the travels than she actually took. So, I mean, my job is just to be and to do the job I'm given. Once I issue my report, I cannot control. I can tell you, I never said the gallivanting thing you mentioned.
And as you're,
I don't do that.
Exactly. That was a characterization by her attorneys, to be sure.
And
so let's see. Yeah, let's see. Well, in other words, she took a lot of trips. 24 does count as a lot of trips. But she would justify those. And again, we have begun the process of inviting her to appear on the show to talk about it. So far, she's been reluctant to talk to the press. But, you know, we'll see what decision she makes in that regard in the coming weeks. But concerned that people have this impression that she has done something illegal. And that, of course, happens in the context of Catherine Pugh, Cheryl Glenn, Daryl D'Souza, and all the other prominent public officials here in our city who have found themselves in prison for doing things that are improper and illegal. But there's no insinuation that Ms. Mosby has done any of that sort of thing right now based on your report, just so people are clear about that. Is that true? Is that an accurate summary?
My report speaks for itself. I literally just outlined the items that she, and it's important to note that she asked me to do this. I did exactly what I was asked to do. I made no comments. I made no judgments, no comments. I mean, the one trip that was outlined in detail was because she left it off. And I just, because it was left off, we delved into that trip. But
And maybe something very good will come out of this, which is that the administrative manual will in fact be clarified and revised and updated to reflect what is best for these values of accountability that you've talked about.
I mean, I do think the accountability and transparency, that's what this is all about. I mean, that's why you know, I think it was important to discuss that the administrative manual, that it's about what my office does, which is finding the people and keeping everybody accountable for what they're doing. So if we don't, and if they decide, because even the solicitor's opinion, it's not retroactive. It doesn't apply. So that doesn't mean that, you know, all the examples I gave you don't apply. He can, his opinion is going forward. So because like I said, and you know, in a certain time period, we had 32 examples involving 12 different elected officials that utilized the administrative manual in question.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, and that you're applying the rules as they were understood in 2018 and 2019, and now as people take another look at them, maybe they're understanding them in a different way. That is
correct, and that's why really my point. Right, thank you. That's why it's not that I'm wrong. It's just that I took the facts. I took everything I had at the time. I talked to a tremendous amount of people because, I mean, I do understand it is someone's reputation. So I take it all very seriously. And this particular AM policy was a way because I actually learned the history of it all. Apparently back there was issues with Mayor Rawlings Blake taking too many trips. There was issues back in 2005 with Mayor Martin O'Malley taking too many trips. And it apparently that's how this transparency and accountability started for all trips, so that people would know where their elected officials were. And otherwise, I mean, and even, you know, again, the ethics policy, that doesn't even get public presented for a year and a half after you've taken the trip. So, I mean, I don't see how that is any type of transparency and accountability to the citizens of Baltimore.
Just so listeners are clear, I'm not here to either defend nor condemn Marilyn Mosby or you or anybody. You know, I'm just interested in people's perspective about it. So we just have a few minutes left, and I do want to ask you about at least one other thing, and that is this joint report that you issued with the person who holds the parallel position in Baltimore County, the Inspector General there, Kelly Madigan, that you did about the city water system, the billing system for city water, which also affects people in the county. What is the deal with the water system? I mean, it appears, according to your report, that we are passing up millions of dollars in fees that we could be collecting to pay for this very expensive system.
Right. And that's another great example of, you know, transparency, accountability. And I did have the absolute pleasure of working with Kelly Madigan, who is the Inspector General of Baltimore County. You really should have her on soon just to tell about the incredible work she's doing over there.
She's on the list.
Okay. Thank you. she's a good person. And water is a very, very important issue. And we were actually very surprised how much money we have put into consulting and just trying to get a handle on the water. And I will say again, the new administration, actually both of them, and that's why we had a first time ever, a joint press conference with the two inspector generals in both County Executive Johnny O and Mayor Brandon Scott, all of us joined together to try to highlight that this is an issue that has to start to change. And since that time, they've been having meetings, and they've actually brought back a lot of the water meter crew, who we found out during our report that they had all been, they weren't fired as it was reported. They were actually just all like on hold. So we were paying them, but they weren't even coming in. So that's all been corrected. And now the focus is on how to make the water bill and the billing system so much more accountable and correct, and how it needs to happen. And that's what they're really working on. And Kelly and I, the thing that we also do is we also follow up on things. Like sometimes, you know, people tell us that we're going to do this, this, and this, and then nothing happens. Like we had an example where they told us that a person was going to lose a contract, and we looked back on it, and actually the person was continuing to get the contract and still getting additional contracts. So we had to issue another report on that. So I promise you.
So this water report came out a couple of months ago. I mean, have you seen any movement
I actually have.
Fixing?
They actually have, like I told you, they brought back the people. They're actually retraining them. They're going to try to make it so that Baltimore City and Baltimore County their communications have increased 1,000-fold. I mean, I can tell you, and we are moving a mountain here, but I can tell you that the administration is absolutely moving forward on this. And I can say, you know, the DPW group, this is actively happening, and I am actively watching it. I can promise you that. And I hope, because it is tremendous, but it affects every one of us. So it is very, very important.
Let me ask you one more quick question. Sure. We got 15 seconds left. John Lee from WIPR.
Oh, my God,
WIPR. It's
flew by.
Yeah, it does. It goes fast. But he's reporting that the General Assembly has killed a bill that would have allowed Kelly Madigan, the county inspector general, oversight of county schools. Do you have purview over the city schools? Do you have purview over the police department, for example? Are there areas of city government over which you do not have any purview?
I have what they call a memorandum of understanding with the police department, and I have a memorandum of understanding with the school system. However, it's important to note that last year they hired an inspector general over the school system for the state of Maryland. And so there is a person that does that, and he has a staff of 8. So, and what, I mean, I can't speak for Kelly, but I'm sure that she would work with them when issues came up. So, I mean, it's important. I mean, you and I didn't even get to talk about it. Like I took over the entire ethics, and that's just has changed incredibly here in Baltimore. But I mean, I can't even.
That'll be our next time.
I mean,
absolutely.
Everybody needs to look at our website on ethics. It's been clarified. There's been trainings. It's just we're moving that forward in such a positive way.
Well, this by no means will be your last appearance on Midday. We are always delighted to have you. Isabel Mercedes Cumming. She is the Inspector General of the City of Baltimore. Thanks so much. Appreciate it. And good luck moving forward. Thank you. You too. Coming up, we are going to switch gears, and we're going to welcome back our good friend Kara Ober for Midday on the Arts. She will join us on the other side of this quick break. But before we go to that break, each week here on our program, it's our practice to read the names of people who have lost their lives to violence in Baltimore City. We also list their names on our website. We do so to stand in witness to their untimely deaths and to remember their families and friends in their hour of grief. So far this year, 41 people have been victims of homicide in Baltimore. Last week, police released the identities of 2 of the 3 people who were victims of homicide in our city. They are Justin Bucalo, age 40, and Seymour Hall Jr. He was 56 years old. It's Midday. I'm Tom Hall. We'll be right back.
You're tuned to your NPR news station, 88.1 WYPR.